Welcome to the SureCast, a podcast produced by Bernstein Sure, covering a variety of law, public affairs, and community-related issues of interest. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the firm, and no advice in this podcast should be considered legal advice. If you are in need of legal counseling, please call Bernstein Sure at 207-774-1200. Thank you, and on with the show.
Profit and purpose. Can the two actually coexist? The answer is yes. And new legislation was passed in September. My two guests know all about it. They've been working together on a couple of talks around the state of Maine. Helen Coburn is a securities attorney with Bernstein Sure. She advises entrepreneurs on how to raise capital so they can execute business plans. And she's dedicated to getting a deal done. She loves learning about new ideas and takes pride in being part of a growing company's team of advisors. And Tara Jenkins is the founder of Conscious Revolution LLC, an organization that partners with leaders to create conscious businesses. She does a lot of work here in Maine. She is devoted to building profitable businesses that make the world what she calls a better place. And isn't that a great place to begin? I want to welcome both of you, Helen and Tara. Today. It's great to have you both here.
Thank you. We're happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Let's begin, Helen. Let's talk a little bit about the new law that just went into effect that the Maine legislature grappled with in September of 2019.
Sure. So the law itself was actually signed into being in June. But then it had a certain period of time to enable the state to kind of get the forms together and have it go effective. So that happened in September of this year. And I believe it was on September 26th. There was actually one company that actually filed. It was the first benefit corporation in the state of Maine. So a lot of people are quite excited about it. Should I go into the details of the law?
I think so. So it's called a benefit corporation. Some people have heard of B Corps, which is different. Yep. So let's talk about what is a benefit corporation.
So a benefit corporation is still a for-profit corporation. So under Maine law, you've got nonprofit corporations and you've got business corporations. And if you're and now we have a benefit corporation. So what people are most familiar with, if you were a business corporation, you're probably either a C Corp or an S Corp. Those are actually tax designations. With the new legislation as a benefit corporation, you're still, as I said, a for-profit corporation. You're still going to be either a C Corp or an S Corp, but you now have this additional legal overlay that gives the board of directors more flexibility than under the previous existing law to consider stakeholders other than just shareholders when making decisions about what's in the best interest of the corporation.
So let's go back to the beginning. You yep. might have somebody from a company that comes to you, and why would they be interested in becoming a benefit corporation? What is it about their company that they're looking to do that, why they're looking to pursue this?
Sure. And I'll answer this quickly. And then I actually think that may be a good point for Tara to jump in on as well. So, you know, when a new entrepreneur wants to start a company and they have a lot of things that they're considering, one of those things they consider is what type of entity they're going to create. And if they are interested in not only creating their product or doing their thing, but also taking into account, you know, sustainable environmental practices, robust employee benefit policies that really motivate employees and other things that haven't classically been considered key tenets of a for-profit corporation, this new legislation gives them as a company greater flexibility to run their new enterprise in a much more sort of robust and inclusive manner that allows them to prioritize or think about things other than just the profit, the bottom line profit for shareholders.
So it encourages kind of social consciousness and environmental consciousness. You know, it's funny, Tara, back in the day, it seemed that kind of the burden of that fell on nonprofits. You know, you would look at the nonprofit and say, oh, they're the ones who want to save the world. But things have shifted now, and I think we're in a new time, and people have a different mindset now, and they want to do more. Am I correct? You're nodding your head.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a major trend, and we have something called the B economy, which is the benefit economy, and benefit corporations are a piece of that. And people are looking for their work to mean more in the world. And that's a major trend across the younger generations, which in my opinion, they've just done a good job of voicing probably what all of us feel on a regular basis, that we want to spend the time that we're spending at work doing something meaningful and purposeful. And so what this legislation does is really capture the requirement, the legal requirement for organizations to balance all of the needs of various stakeholders. As Helen just pointed out, the stakeholders are consumers, our employees, are the environment, can be suppliers, can be all of the people that your business touches. The way that you make business decisions as a result of this legislation shifts from shareholder primacy to balancing all the needs of the stakeholders, which requires you to understand their needs in a different way than we currently have in most of our business models.
I don't know what the percentage is, but I did. I saw a study, and it was based on interviews of young people, and it was millennials and younger. And it said, and it found that when faced with a decision, so let's say somebody has received a job offer, two job offers, and they will look deeply into the company and they'll take a look at their giving and kind of what we're talking about today. This is a new movement, and it's not just kind of the companies, but it seems that it's job seekers that are holding this as a very important kind of qualifier as to whether they're going to take the job or not, even if it means making less money.
Absolutely. This is a way to attract and retain talent that can be really a strategic piece of your business plan, because as you just said, people are attracted to wanting to work for organizations that are doing more meaningful work, which allows them to spend their time in a different way. And so B Corp certification, which is a process that we mentioned a little bit earlier, is a way for organizations to promote that they follow most of the principles that are under the B Corporation legislation. And so there's an interweaving of lots of different new parts of this benefit economy or B economy that people have a lot of things to learn about, most likely, but a lot of excitement and activity around as well.
Now, just to kind of clarify, though, B Corps in Maine, there are only a handful that have actually gone through the strenuous work of, and it's a lot, it's a huge undertaking to be certified as a B Corp. So this is kind of a different way of almost attaining. I don't want to weaken the B Corp certification by any means, but this does, it puts other companies in a similar plane anyway.
Yeah, I think it moves, it kind of moves the ball down the court in sort of the right general direction. And so, when we did this presentation previously, we were kind of thinking about how you describe it. And I always come back to the Venn diagram, which, you know, for a podcast, it's hard to actually portray. But when you think about it, you can be a benefit corporation, you could be a certified B Corp, and then there's going to be some entities where there's the overlap and they're both. And I think it'll just be interesting to see what that balance ends up becoming.
Well, and it's important to note, I think, that Maine has joined 36 other states having benefit corporation legislation. So we're joining a lot of other states that have been through this process before, have many companies that have either started as benefit corporations or are transitioning from a more traditional type of corporation to a benefit corporation. And so we get to learn from all of their experience as well as we're trying to join the rest of the movement, because this really is a movement around creating a benefit economy in the United States.
The benefit has come during Governor Janet Mills' administration. She must be supportive of this. Let's hear a little bit about that. What has she said to you about this?
So we actually have spoken to Governor Mills. I know she did sign it into law. I know under the prior administration, there had been a similar proposal that that didn't go through. But I don't know, Tara, do you have any additional insight on that? Because unfortunately, from a legislative standpoint, I don't have much.
Well, I spoke at the public hearing when they were considering this law, which was a great experience for me because I had never done that before. But this was something I felt so strongly about that I wanted to get up and talk about why it was important for Maine to join the other states, because I think it was a competitive disadvantage that we didn't have this as part of our portfolio of options for entrepreneurs and business leaders. And so what I can say is that there's still a lot of confusion, even in that legislative hearing amongst the legislators that were hearing us speak about what this really means and what the difference is between a certified B Corp and a benefit corporation and conscious capitalism and all sorts of things that come into this movement. So this is all new. It's about a 10-year-old movement. And so people are trying to figure out where all the language fits and what's the paradigm that we're operating under. And so it's going to take us some time, which is why doing things like this, more educational sessions, helps people to understand that. Thankfully, they passed the law. But I can tell you that even sitting in there, I could see still confusion about how everything was being pieced together. And but a lot of understanding of the need to attract and retain talent to Maine. So a lot of questions around what are the different tools that we can use to do that? Because this is a major issue, a major economic issue that we have in Maine. And I think that was some of the motivation.
Major economic issue, of course. We are the oldest state in the country, and we have a real problem with either job retention or job attraction. And I know the governor is really getting on board with that and trying to find ways and shift attention around that. Helen, I'm wondering, when you meet with companies, take me through what you do, because with your legal background, you have kind of a different vantage point.
So Tara and I presented together at Bernstein Sure. We did sort of a breakfast, lunch and learn that because this is new legislation, there really isn't anything out there. The state, as I mentioned earlier, as we were chatting, enacted new forms literally on September 19th. And there's very little literature right now on the state's website in terms of guiding people as to how to do this. So we felt like it was important to just get some word out. That's another reason why we want to do this podcast today, just so people in the state of Maine can have more information about the new law. But sort of thinking through how this works for clients, within the last month alone, I've had several existing clients and two prospective new clients come to talk to me about how this may work. What will be interesting to see, so people can come at different times in their sort of life cycle. So I've spoken, for example, to a prospective client about forming. They've got a business idea. They want to form a new entity. What is that going to look like? And they're strongly considering forming as a Maine benefit corporation. I have another existing client who's a little bit farther down the road. They've taken investment. They already do some practices that are sort of, you know, conscious business principles, thinking this may make sense, having initial conversations with some of their existing investors. And there's been a little pushback because people don't know what this law is going to mean. They don't know what it means from a liability standpoint. If you're considering, you know, aspects other than just shareholder profits, what does that mean for their returns? So, you know, kind of talking through issues that may come up at different stages in the life cycle, it's intriguing because in part it's so new. And so from a legal standpoint, one thing to think about, again, this doesn't impact whether you're a for-profit entity or not, because you're still going to be for-profit. It just may impact how you're making those decisions about what's profitable, what are other things that you're going to be considering in your business practices. But one of the concerns that other lawyers, other investors may articulate is, what does this mean from a liability standpoint? So when we were talking about the advantage of this law earlier as part of this podcast, one of the advantages is that it creates increased flexibility for the board to consider these other stakeholders. But it's, even though the legislation seeks to limit their exposure to lawsuits that may arise out of the decisions that they make, is because it's so new, it's untested. So it's hard to know, you know, what if there's a member of an environmental conservation group who's not a shareholder of the corporation, the statute seeks to limit that. Is there some way down the road that they could basically initiate a lawsuit that's going to expose that board to unanticipated liability? And this is because it's so new, this is something that, you know, will take a little bit of time to test.
And my understanding with the B Corp is that when the B Corps go through all of that work to get the certification, part of that that's built in is that they're protected from lawsuits.
So that's with the legislation. They're intended to be protected. So that's where I think you're going to see a lot of certified B Corps perhaps convert to the statutory, you know, benefit corporation in whatever jurisdiction they're in. But as a certified B Corp, they're still, if they are not organized as a benefit corporation under either Maine law or applicable state law, then they're still bound to make determinations. The board is bound to make determinations about what's in the best interest of the company, keeping in view shareholder profits at the bottom of the day. So you could make, with the existing structure, you could still make the argument that considering these sustainable environmental practices, or, you know, the examples that we keep naming, is going to help with long-term profits, because, and Tara has a lot more research on this from a business standpoint in terms of the performance of some of these companies. But you could make that argument. However, a lot of times what ends up getting focused on is the short-term business profit.
Mm. And you're seeing that as well, Tara.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, many of us think of the definition of business, an S corp or a C corp, that means that you are modeling the needs of the shareholder first. And what this legislation requires is that you're not doing that, that you're balancing the needs. And so many organizations that are trying to create business practices that balance all the needs of all the stakeholders, this is a great legal tool, because when you're bringing in, particularly as a new business, you're bringing in investors, or you're thinking about starting your own business, you are attracting and retaining the right investors based on the philosophy of this legislation, that you're going to balance all the needs of the stakeholders. And many very principled business leaders operating under our former or more traditional models will bring in investors that have a shareholder primacy. I want to make money. I'm out for profit in a certain period of time, and I have an exit strategy that's incongruent with the reasons why they started the business. And so this helps align everyone from the get-go to make sure that everyone is seeking the same goals and purpose around the outcome of that business.
It seems to me that there are so many young companies that are moving into, you know, we're fortunate. We're getting people who are coming in who are seeing Portland and Maine as kind of a new frontier and a place that has space to move into. And it's kind of fun. Great, great city for folks who are kind of amping up and all of that, ramping up. So I guess with that, and both of you are kind of on the cusp of millennial ages, are you seeing a whole new group of business leaders than the old guard? Is there a whole new, I mean, it just seems the whole world has changed a bit. And I'm wondering if you could share with me what you're seeing.
Yeah, happy to. I think you can only pick up any social media or any newspaper to see that is shifting significantly, that people that are operating in even big workplaces like Google are creating opportunities to have their own voice through lots of different platforms, and young people going on, you know, different marches or creating lots of different ways to have their voice be heard. And so I think that's really a part of this bigger macrocosm, of this bigger mega trend of people saying, we want to shape the world and create a different world in that we're operating in, and we are not going to be silent. And so that's really what I think is a part of this whole benefit economy, is saying no more of the traditional way of doing things. It's not working. We know it's not working. And we also know, as Helen mentioned before, tons of research has been done that businesses that operate with conscious business principles that really balance the needs of their stakeholders, that spend a lot of time thinking about their culture and the leadership and really about the higher purpose of their organization, they are not only better businesses in our world, they are more profitable. And so this is kind of a no-brainer. But you do have to be in it for the longer term. This is not a short-term, quarter by quarter, let's make a certain amount of money and profit maximization game. This is a long-term business strategy. And employees and people coming up through school now, that will be our future workforce, are watching companies and voting with their dollars as they're purchasing stuff. And you can see this trend all over the place. So it's really exciting to see.
And Helen, you're working directly with entrepreneurs and trying to line them up. Are you hearing that same type of idealism?
Yes, absolutely. And I was, and I can talk a little bit about that, but I also just want to add, beyond just the entrepreneurs, what's also interesting is you're seeing, just as I said, some investors are a little skeptical of the new law. You also are seeing more and more investors and investment groups who are focused on initiatives that I think align with this. So one of the organizations that I'm involved with in Maine, we're looking at how do we get more women involved in making investments in early stage companies, because we want to see more women run companies. You've got that. That's just small kind of grassroots in Maine. But outside the state of Maine, there's venture capital funds that are being formed with investment theses that are prioritizing diverse boards, having female or minority stakeholders in the C-suite of employees. So I think that's really important, because you can have an idealistic entrepreneur who's starting a fantastic company with really great principles, but if they can't get capital because there's still this old guard that's dictating, you know, what you need to consider, then it's going to be really challenging to grow that business. So I'm encouraged by seeing receptiveness of some of the investment players, both within the state of Maine and outside, to these sorts of principles, as well as sort of the optimism and not even optimism, but just, I think, sound decision making and building a business by the entrepreneurs here.
You love your job.
I do. And I, you know, I'm one of those. I moved to Maine. I love my practice. I work really hard here in the state of Maine. I'm excited about Portland. I love being at Bernstein Shure. And I think it has provided me with a good balance. I have a family. I have a state that I live in where I can get outdoors, and I can still have a really inspiring and challenging career.
And in a way, do you feel like you're also helping to shape and encourage businesses in a way that you feel not only proud of, but that you can actually talk about with your kids?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Tara, what about you? You look like you're pretty pleased with what you've been working on as well.
Yeah. Well, I've been in the human resources field for about 25 years, working in all different sizes and shapes companies, including law firms. And I really wanted to, upon reflection and looking over my career and what I wanted to do next, was create a different way that business is done. And I think this legislation gives us that great opportunity, but there's also this fuller movement with many different things going on, where we have the opportunity. I want my children to have an opportunity to work in a conscious business, but by the time they get there, what I hope is that that's no longer even a term. Just the way we do business has completely changed.
Okay, so staying on that, is there any going back at this point, or do you feel like things are so fully rooted in this positive movement that it's only going forward from here?
I think we have to be mindful that capitalism, in the way that we think of it today, the traditional version of capitalism, where you might think of as crony capitalism, and for some of us, like the Enrons and the Tycos are the worst examples of those. That version of capitalism has existed for a lot longer than the movement that we're talking about. And so we're still in a fragile state. And so we have young people and younger generations creating and pushing this movement forward, but we still have people in positions of power that are not those people. And so we need to be mindful that we all need to think about the ways that we can support this every day. You may have seen the Business Roundtable, which is the most influential business lobbyist group, did come out in August of this year and say the business of doing business is changed, and that we do need to really manage all of the needs of the stakeholders rather than just the shareholder. So just them saying that was a significant watershed moment in this movement. But we still have a lot of work to do, and we still have a lot of education to do, which is part of why Helen and I were passionate about doing this work.
Yep. And even, you know, within the entrepreneurial community, I'm thinking more of what you see kind of with Silicon Valley, is there's, you know, a greater attempt to sort of debunk the myth of the founder, which is the classic, you know, bravado male run company, where there's not, with WeWork, that's just been trying to go public, they have this huge scandal with their founder. And I think anytime something like that happens, whether it's Enron or this, there's this push for greater accountability and transparency. And that's part of what this legislation does. You know, under the Maine law, you have to publish an annual benefit report and make it available on your website. And it requires that you really provide, you know, a lot of details about the company that wouldn't otherwise be publicly available.
And maybe right, unlike the past, people are actually reading it.
Yeah, I think so. And also, it It is more and more difficult because of really good marketing and the way that things have advanced in corporations, that it's very difficult for people to actually know whether what they're seeing or reading is authentic and genuine, because lots of it is marketing, really good marketing as well. And so businesses tend to look more homogeneous across all of them about the benefits or what the workplace looks like, or, oh, we have ping pong tables here too, or we have this or we have that. And so there's a lot of purpose washing or greenwashing, things that on the surface look to be genuine and authentic, but then only until you actually get into that organization do you realize, oh, that's actually not really the values of this organization. And so I think seeing it embedded in the legal infrastructure of the organization, like the benefit corporation designation does, is a way for companies to truly differentiate, saying, we mean business about this. This is really not just a marketing ploy. This is not something going up on our website. This is something that is embedded in the DNA of our organization and can last founder to succession plan over and over and over again.
And I was just going to say, and what you said, we mean business. I mean, you do mean business. So I do want to underscore, kind of at the end of the day, this is still a for-profit initiative. This is not a nonprofit, just because there's a mandate to consider some of these things that other circles may say are sort of softer things. You still, at the end of the day, need to be a profitable enterprise. I know one of the CEOs of one of the certified B Corps here in Maine said something like, at the end of the day, if we're not profitable, all of our, you know, policies that we're trying to implement mean nothing, because we have to have the money to be able to run the organization.
And sometimes a for-profit is doing such good work, actually. And if it doesn't have that money, then it can't have that ripple effect.
Exactly. So I guess I just, for people who may be listening to this who are a little bit skeptical about the new framework, I guess I would just want to underscore that point, that this means that you're just thinking in a slightly more robust way about how you run the company. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily taking away from the profits that could be generated. And as Tara mentioned earlier, there's multiple studies that talk about sort of the long-term performance of these companies and how they tend to outperform other companies that don't necessarily think in this way.
Shifts and changes in Maine, Maine's new Benefit Corporation Act. Is there anything missing right now that you would like to kind of have tacked on to the legislation? Or is there anything that you feel that companies need to know that maybe they don't know yet about what this offers?
That's a good question. I think as drafted, this is based on sort of the Model Benefit Corporation Act. So it's very similar to legislation that you see in other states. So I think that it actually works quite well. It's important to know that there's this, the actual legislation, and I'm pointing to it on the desk, is fairly short, but it incorporates by reference Maine's existing Business Corporation Act. So if there are things that you feel like aren't answered here, sometimes it's because you have to, it actually does work in conjunction with the existing Business Corporation Act. In terms of things that I kind of wish were there, and this may come down the road, the Secretary of State's office of the state of Maine does have, you know, they have forms that are online that you can download. They have, for early stage businesses, they have some great information, you know, what's an LLC, what's a corporation. And as of right now, and I did check this morning, there isn't something that goes into great detail about the benefit corporation. So I think hopefully over time, we're going to just get some more fundamental resources out there so that people who are thinking about this and maybe haven't been working with an advisor or engaged an attorney can just have some information right out the gate about what this means. Otherwise, you know, right now you just look at the form and there's a box that you check for benefit corporation. And if you don't know what it is, you may or may not check the box intentionally or not.
And you may want to hire Helen Coburn, securities attorney at Bernstein Scherer, to help clarify things. Well, I want to thank you, Helen and Tara, and I want to open it up if there's any more discussion you wanted to kind of cover with this. You've done a great job at helping us better understand really a new, as you both mentioned, a new not just concept, but it's a new law. And it seems like it's possibly bringing more business to Maine. Is that ultimately the goal? Is that what you'd like to see happen?
Absolutely. That's what I would love to see. I want to see Maine be, certainly have many more, much more activity around the conscious business movement, including more certified B Corps. Our sister states or neighbor states have far more of a robust economy around the B economy. And so I think Maine has the opportunity to do much more in that space. I think the legislation is incredibly important. What it doesn't help, of course, as any legislation has these shortcomings, is how do you actually operate your business in this way? And so I think that's what all of the community, as we build it, can share with each other, to have different examples of how you change how you're running your business to balance all the needs of the stakeholders, because there is a deliberate way that you need to go about doing this. And so people need help and examples, and they won't find that through the legislation, but they can talk to Helen and I if they need to.
So Helen, if companies are looking for more information on what they can do, and if this sounds really interesting to them, how can they reach you? Why don't you give us a couple of different ways they can get in touch with you?
Sure. So the first would just be the Bernstein Sure website. So you can search my name. It's Helen Coburn. You can also reach me via email, hcoburn@bernsteinsure.com, or on my direct line, which is 207-228-7284.
And just so folks know, it's C-O-B-U-R-N.
Correct.
Helen with one L.
Yes.
Always good to give that, because sometimes people have relatives with two L's.
Yeah. Right.
You never know. And tell us, Tara, how can people reach you?
The best way to reach me is through my website. It's www.consciousrevolutionllc.com. And you can find all my contact information there.
It's great to have this discussion. And I'm sure that we're going to need to do a follow-up pretty quickly here as more information comes out and more companies are looking for information from you. Helen Coburn, securities attorney with Bernstein Sure. Tara Jenkins is the founder of Conscious Revolution. I just want to say thank you so much for coming in. It's been a real pleasure talking with both of you and learning more about the changes that are here in Maine. And thanks for joining us. I'm Tori Ryden.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Surecast, a Bernstein Sure podcast. We hope you have enjoyed the program. To find out more information about the topics discussed in this episode and more, please visit www.bernsteinsure.com/media. Thank you.